Lord's put in my spirit today. I tell you, I got very excited. We got that phone call this morning. The guy's English was not very well at all. So I asked him what his name was, and he told me, but I can't for the life of me pronounce it. So, but how many know that's awesome? That's awesome. It was such a confirmation, you know, and God does things like that. He begins to show himself mighty. Amen. Amen. Lady J said she could preach today. But I want to talk about manifestation today. I want to talk about a manifestation of the explanation. Is the title of this. Basically, what I'm talking about is when destiny begins to speak. Amen? And I don't think it's a coincidence that we got that phone call this morning. Because how many know that's part of our destiny speaking as a church? When we have a word that we're going to touch other nations. Amen? With what God is doing in this place. How many know that destiny, that vision, it has a voice? And not only does that destiny of this church have a voice, but guess what? The destiny, the vision inside of you, it has a voice. We kind of touched on this last Wednesday evening, but I want to talk about when destiny speaks. It's a manifestation of the explanation. The word manifestation, it means this. It's an indication of the existence, reality, or presence of something. Let me say it again. It's an indication of the existence, reality, or presence of something. It is a perceptible, outward, or visible expression. It's an appearance. It's a demonstration, a revelation, a mark, a token. It's an explanation. This is what the word manifestation means. Let me say it one more time. It's a perceptible, outward, or visible expression. Manifestation. It's an appearance. It's a demonstration. It's a revelation of something. It's when something is revealed to us. It manifests, or it's made known, would be a good way to understand the word manifestation. It's so ironic to me that even the word manifestation, one of the synonyms for manifestation is the word explanation. And the word explanation means this. It means a mutual declaration of the meaning of words spoken. Let me say that again. An explanation is this. It is a mutual declaration of the meaning of words spoken, actions, motives, description, and elucidation. What is elucidation? Y'all know me. I love looking up words. An elucidation is this. It means to throw light on what was before dark and obscure. Amen? To throw light on what was before in the dark or obscure, usually by illustration or commentary. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'll say that again. We're talking about a manifestation of the explanation when our destiny begins to speak and what God is calling us to do. An elucidation, which is part of the meaning of the word explanation, which is a part of the meaning of the word manifestation. A manifestation of the explanation. Elucidation means to throw light on what was before dark and obscure, usually by illustration and commentary. The words spoken over us that we allow to stay in the dark and obscure places will not be able to produce our potential and intentional purpose. Y'all need to hear that. The words spoken over us that we allow to stay in the dark or stay in an obscure place, those words will not be able to produce in you and I, come on, our potential and intentional purpose of God if we keep them in the dark. Not flowing in our gift will cause us to operate in a state of confusion. Always wondering, am I doing the right thing? Is this where I'm supposed to be when we're not flowing when we ain't got in our groove? Amen? And Brother Bradley plays the drums and everything. You know, one of the things about drummers, they have to get in the pocket, they call it. Basically, what that means is they find the rhythm of a song. If you're not in the pocket, the rhythm, it kind of just feels kind of off a little bit if you don't get in that pocket. kind of like we were when we were in worship at the beginning. We just wasn't in the groove. We finally broke through there at the last, but we just didn't find our rhythm of the Spirit of God. How many know we in it now? So not flowing in our gift will cause us to operate in a state of confusion until, listen to this, elucidation, until the light is thrown on. And thrown on those hidden things of purpose inside of us. When light is thrown onto what was before in the darkness, it will cause destiny, hear this, to begin to speak. And the Lord will begin by illustration and commentary the unfolding plans of God for our lives. You hear that? I'm talking about a manifestation of the explanation. If you go, Sister Nancy, I could go to a Broadway show. Lady J and I have been to see The Phantom of the Opera before. And I could tell you all about it and explain to you, you know, man, it was awesome, the singing, the music, and all that. It was incredible. But if you hadn't experienced it yourself, all you have for me is an explanation. But when you get to go to that thing yourself, come on, somebody, and you experience it for yourself, then you begin to feel the manifestation, or those things are made real to you and brought to life. And God speaks words that are spoken over you and I. He puts them down in our spirit. It's our destiny. It's our calling. It's our purpose. And they're down in the depths of our being, amen, almost hidden. They're in dark and obscure places. And all of a sudden, God will begin to shed light on that. Sean, this is what I've called you to do. Boom, the light comes on. And man, you see it. And you begin to tell people, Pastor Barry, God spoke this to me. And, you know, and I you go to try to explain in that thing, and you know, and you do pretty good at explaining it, but until there's a manifestation of that thing, your explanation really doesn't carry much. And God wants us to take us from the explanation to a manifestation. Amen. To where we're walking that thing out, not just talking about it, not just feeling it, you know. Faith is this. I think I touched on this Wednesday night. You know, faith is threefold. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and then when you confess with your mouth, your faith has to fall to your feet and you begin to walk it out. Amen? If I just have faith in my heart and I never confess it with my mouth and begin to walk it out, I've just got silent faith. If I just have faith in my mouth, but I don't believe it in my heart, I have empty, idle words. Amen? So what's got to take place? God has got to impart to me his plan. He's got to shed light on those hidden things in the darkness inside of me to where faith is imparted to me, to where I begin to believe what God has spoken over my life, and I don't only believe it in my heart, but I begin to talk that thing out of my mouth. We will touch nations. I've said it from the beginning. I can't help but go there again. I've said it from the beginning when we came into this place. God's word for this place, one of the words was, we will touch nations from this place. And I told you guys, I said, you know, I'm not just talking about helping missionaries. I'm talking about people from other nations coming here because of what God is doing. And then we get a word from Apostle Kelvin Muhammad, you will touch nations. And I'm the first one coming. I'm from Trinidad. I'm the first one coming here because of what God's doing. And this very morning, amen, a man from Kenya calls and says, what you're doing there in Selma, Tennessee, has touched my life all the way in Kenya, South Africa. Why? Because I'm such a mighty man of faith, or you're such a great woman of faith, because we're such a great church of faith. No, it's just because we had an impartation of a word spoken, and it hit our heart. We begin to confess it out of our mouth, and we begin to walk it out and say, yeah, we will touch nations from this place, and nations will come here. Amen? And we begin to walk those things out, and guess what? We had a manifestation of the explanation. So when light is thrown on to what was before in darkness, it's going to cause our destiny to begin to speak, and the Lord will begin by illustration and commentary. In other words, God will begin to get, he'll start painting a picture of what he's called us to do. He'll illustrate the things for our life. And he'll begin to put commentary. Somebody say closed caption. He'll put closed captioning on it. Amen. So we can not only see it in illustration, but we can begin to read it in commentary, amen, and he'll begin to give us commentary of what he's called us to do. Jeremiah 29:11 says it like this out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I like this translation. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's," somebody say, "declaration." "Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Let me read something to you that was in our devotional a few weeks ago. "Today I will be energized by the promises of God that speak prophetically to my potential and help me to perceive my purpose. Knowing who I am in Christ and what I am inevitably becoming in Him will produce an unshakable confidence in me. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." 1 John 3:2. "The seed of Christ deposited in my spirit will produce after its own kind, ultimately conforming me to His image. Amen. I know my plans towards you. This is the declaration of the Lord." These are those words spoken over our life. Thoughts of purpose and future and a hope for you. "These are my declaration. These are my words spoken over you," says the Lord. And I'm trying to shine light on that thing, that hidden thing inside of you, that a manifestation would come forth. John 3:1-3 says this. "Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, and authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know and are certain that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs, these wonder works, these miracles, and produce the proofs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him," listen to this, "'I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God.'" Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you beside." Jesus told Nicodemus that unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He didn't say unless a man is born again, he can't be saved. But he said, unless a man is born again, a man must be born again before he can see the kingdom. Amen. Our first priority is to seek the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All these other things, it's going to be added to us. But first of all, we've got to learn how to see. Oh, he didn't say for us to seek a king, but the kingdom or the king's domain. Seek first the kingdom. Ephesians 1:17. I'm going somewhere with this. Ephesians 1:17-21 says this, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation," say manifestation, "of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart," I love this, "flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones." Verse 19, "And so that you can know and understand." Do you see this thing going on here? Know and understand. Amen. That you would have wisdom and revelation, that you would have insight, mysteries, secrets, knowledge, understanding, revelation. He keeps saying it over and over again. Verse 19, "And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength." Verse 20, "which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred." I love the way the Amplified reads. "Not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world to come." Let me tell you something. There is a fivefold process of understanding and possessing the kingdom. Hear this. If you don't get nothing else, get this. There's a fivefold process of understanding and possessing the kingdom of God. Number one, you must seek first the kingdom. When you seek, guess what? You'll begin to see. Number two, once you seek, you will find. Three, when you find, you can enter. Amen. Once you enter, you will possess. And what you possess, you will inherit. I love that. See, we will never possess what we cannot see. Y'all need to let that sink in. We will never possess what we cannot see. Tammy, if you can't see yourself doing great things in Jesus, if you can't see it yourself, you'll never possess it. Amen? But once you begin to see, once the light comes on, and illumination and revelation and understanding, God shines a light and says, hey, there it is. Then you can begin to see what you possess. He'll cause you to see that you can find. And once you find that thing, you can enter in the doorway to get to that thing. Once you enter in to get to that thing, you can possess it. And guess what? You can walk away, somebody say, with an inheritance. An inheritance that God has given us. There is hidden treasure in every field. Hear this. Matthew 13 and 44 says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field. The which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2 says this. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patience, patient endurance, and steady and active persistence, the appointed course, Brother Bradley, of the race that is set before us. God wants us to run the appointed course. He has an alignment for our assignment. Brother Bradley preached the other night. It was an awesome word. But how many know he has an appointment for us, an appointed course of the race that's set before us, looking away from all that will distract. How many know you got to look away from things that's going to distract you? Because how many know there's going to be things that try to distract you? It's going to be family, friends, work, amen, life. These things will try to distract us from what God is trying to reveal to us. Looking away from all that distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source. He's the leader and the source. Jesus is always the leader, and he's always the source of what we need, of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. God's trying to grow us up. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How many know that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured suffering and pain on the cross? Why? Because he found a field, come on somebody, that had some treasure hidden in it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to buy that field. I'm going to purchase that field with my own blood. Amen? Because I want to get that treasure that's in that field. See, the field purchased, church, is you and I. The treasure in the field, it's our destiny. And destiny inside of me, say this with me, destiny inside of me, say it. Destiny inside of me has a voice that God hears. Oh, this is good to me. A manifestation of the explanation. What are you talking about? Your destiny has a voice. Your vision, those hidden treasures inside of you, Sister Nancy, has a voice that God can hear. Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought, Sister Garrett. I bet the Spirit makes intercession for us with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered, and prays the direct will of God for us. I don't even know how to pray sometimes, Sister Garrett, but how many know the Spirit of God inside of me, my destiny knows how to pray. Amen. And now my destiny, my vision, and the purpose of God inside of me has a voice that God hears. Because when we begin to moan and groan before the Lord because I don't know how to pray as I ought, and allow the Spirit of God, or somebody say destiny, begin to pray on my behalf. How many know God hears that? And the direct will of God will be released into my life. I'm getting kind of ahead of myself, but let's, Genesis 21, verse 12. I'm going to prove to you that destiny has a voice inside of you. Genesis 21, verses 12 through 18. This is a story of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, amen, Ishmael, Isaac. Y'all know those stories. You know, Abraham and Sarah thought they'd help God out. Amen. They produced an Ishmael. You know, it was something that was produced out of Sarah's mind and Abraham's loins. Human wisdom, human strength. And they produced an Ishmael, and God said, he's not the promised one. Isaac, in Isaac shall all the nations be blessed. And so we pick up here after Isaac had come along in verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. Talking about Ishmael. Because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Basically, what happened here, Sarah said, listen, I want this bondwoman out of the picture. Let's get her out of here. And that's a whole other message in itself right there. Amen. And he said, I want this bondwoman out of here and her son out of here because, you know, they just causing me grief. You know. So anyway, the Lord tells Abraham, listen to Sarah. So verse 13 says, and also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation. In other words, he gives him a promise for the son of the bondwoman. I'm going to make a nation out of him because he is thy seed. Verse 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Verse 15 says, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. It's a terrible situation. She just got kicked out of the wilderness, didn't have nothing but a loaf of bread and a bottle of water. Out to the desert she went with her baby. The water was spent. She run out of water. She run out of food, and she says, you know what? I'm fixing to die, and my baby's fixing to die. So she cast the child under a shrub, and she went, verse 16, and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were, a bow shot. You ever been deer hunting, you know? I take that as close enough. She was, you know, she could see the child. She could still see the child, but it was at a distance to where it would be a good bow shot. Okay? And for she said, let me not see the death of the child, and she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Verse 17 says, and God heard the voice of the lad. Let that soak a minute. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Amen. Now let me ask you something. Who was praying in this situation? Hagar. She was the only one talking. She's the one said, you know, I don't want to see this child. And she began to weep before the Lord. How many know she was praying? I don't want to watch my baby die. And then God spoke. The angel of the Lord said, I've heard the voice of the lad. I mean, no, he couldn't even talk. Come on, somebody. Mama was praying. There you go. Her destiny, her longevity had a voice, amen, and began to cry out. And the voice that the Lord heard wasn't Hagar's voice, but he heard the voice of that destiny that was in that child. And he answered. Look at your neighbor and say, my destiny has a voice. My destiny has a voice. She thought everything was fixing to go haywire, and it was over. But God said, don't fear. I've heard the voice of your destiny. She didn't know how to pray. All she knew to do was cry before the Lord and say, I don't want to watch him die. I don't want to see my destiny die. Amen. I mean, no, God doesn't want your destiny to die. And when we don't even know what to do, our destiny's voice will begin to cry out to the Lord, and God will say, you know what, I hear that. And he began to answer. And in the story here, he said, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand. You know, it's kind of like the Lion King. When they held Simba up and the baby up. You remember that? Why? Because there's the next king. This is your destiny. And they held him up before the congregation of the jungle there in Africa and everything. Everybody knew this is the next king. And she held that destiny up. And God will cause us to take our destiny and pick it up and hold it before him so that he can bless it. And he said, I will make a nation out of him. I will do something with him. How many know? Because we always look at Ishmael as, he was created from human wisdom and human strength in which he was. But how many know God still had a plan and God still loved Ishmael? And he still wanted to do something with him. He told Abraham at the beginning, I know you're sending him out in the wilderness, but listen, father of faith, I'm going to make a nation out of him. He sent that woman out with a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. But he still believed God was going to make a nation out of him because he still was his seed. And it doesn't matter how you came into this world. Why are you saying this, Pastor Barry? I'm saying this because of this right here. You know, there are people that were born into this world through terrible situations. You know, they might have been raped. Come on, somebody. They might have had, a terrible situation that caused them to be birthed into this kingdom. And people would look and say, God can't do nothing with them because you know how they came into this world. That's a lie. They got a destiny. Amen. They still have a purpose. It don't matter how you got here. It just matters what you do while you're here. Amen. And so destiny has a voice that God can hear. And he'll take that destiny and make something great out of it. No matter the situation, come on now, no matter the circumstance, no matter how it came to pass, God can still take it and use it for his glory. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Hallelujah. He did that with you. He did that with me. Oh. So anyway, she lifted up the lad, and the rest of the story basically goes on that when she did that, all of a sudden, something that was hidden was revealed, and she looked over there, and there was a well. I mean, know who the well is. Of water. And she began to drink of that water, and her and the lad were nourished again, and they lived and did not perish in the wilderness. Every time we lift our destiny up before the Lord, come on, somebody. He's going to open up those things that are hidden, and we'll begin to see those things that we can possess. Amen. Because you can't possess what you can't see. But when you hold your destiny up, come on, somebody, you'll begin to have eyes that will open up, and all of a sudden you can see, and there was a well there. Say, we're in Beersheba. Beersheba means this. It means a well of the sevenfold oath. That's what Beersheba means. She was wandering. She was wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba when she got there, and the word wandered there. When I looked it up in the original translation, it means to stagger of intoxication. You ever staggered around thinking, God, what am I going to do? It's just like you're drunk. I don't know. I feel intoxicated. I feel overwhelmed by everything that's going on. It means to cause to err, mislead, mentally or morally. In my mind, I'm getting stressed over this situation, Brother Brad. How's God going to do this? How is he going to work this thing out? And she was wandering in this same place in mental anguish, wandering around like a drunk woman, not knowing where to go. She was intoxicated by the situation. I'm in the desert, just me and my baby, and one bottle of water and a loaf of bread. And when she held that destiny up before the Lord, he showed her a well, and provision was given there. And Beersheba means a well of the sevenfold oath. When we come to the place, hear this, where we are trying to find our way, we're staggering and intoxicated, we're mentally and morally spent. Her water was spent, remember that? And cannot give utterance to our situation, our destiny. We'll begin to pray and seek God on our behalf and bring forth provision that will spring forth from a well of perfection. How many know it was the well of the sevenfold oath, and seven is always a picture of perfection in the Bible. Amen? Amen. And so when we begin to cry out to the Lord and our destiny begins to pray on our behalf, he will bring forth provision that will spring forth from a well of perfection. Those words spoken, hear this, will begin the manifestation process to where we are no longer talking about what we are to do, but we are walking it out. Hagar prayed, but God heard the lad. Amen. When we pray to God, I mean, when we pray to God, He does not hear our natural voice. He hears the voice of destiny. Romans 8, 26, 27. I've already alluded to it, but Romans 8, 26 says, "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. He who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will." My destiny has a voice. It's a manifestation of this explanation in my life. It's that hidden treasure is now being revealed. Amen? Mark 4, 21, 23 in the Amplified says this. He said to them, "Is the lamp brought in to be put under a peck measure or under a bed and not to be put on the lampstand?" Listen to verse 22. "Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed. Nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and let him comprehend." Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The same passage in Luke 8, 16 says, "No one after he has lighted a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under the dining table or the couch. But he puts it on a lampstand that those who come in may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that shall not be disclosed, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come out into the open. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given. And from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away." Now listen, Isaiah 45, 1 through 3. I'm going somewhere with this. Those hidden things. These things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. Isaiah 45, 1. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open up before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron." Listen to this. "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel." The words, listen to this, spoken over us that we allow to stay in the dark and obscure places will not be able to produce our potential and intentional purpose. I know I'm repeating what I've already said, but I got to say it again. Not flowing in our gift will cause us to operate in a state of confusion until the light is thrown on those hidden things of purpose. Remember what we said in Mark chapter 4? Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. We've always used that scripture that, you know what, your sin will find you out. And those things that are hidden, they're going to be revealed. Bless God. All that sin in your life. Amen. Amen. We've used that scripture, you know, you can't hide nothing from mama and daddy. I got the Holy Ghost. And those hidden things are going to be revealed, Emily. Amen. I mean, no, that's true. God can do that. Thank God. Parents ought to say amen. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's hidden treasure that's inside of us. And whatever is hidden is going to be revealed in you. It can't help but be revealed. Why? Because it has a voice. God can hear that voice crying out. So when the light is thrown on what was before in darkness, it will cause destiny to begin to speak, and the Lord will begin by illustration and commentary the unfolding plans of God in our life. 1 Kings 19, 19 and 21 says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat." This is where Elijah came to Elisha. who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them. How many know he took the 12th yoke that he was plowing with? And he slew them, and he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. Come on, how many know he wasn't going that way no more? He'd been plowing with 12 yoke of oxen that day, and he was plowing with the 12th. Come on, he was at the end of that plowing session. And when the man of God came and began to speak to him and cast his mantle upon him, how many know he took the 12th yoke of oxen, and he boiled it, and everything that had to do with working them ox, he boiled all that, and they began to eat it, and he gave it to these other people, dispersed it there, and they did eat. Then he arose, and he went after Elijah. See, Elisha had come to the end of plowing in that field. It was the field of his nativity. It's where he was raised. Amen. He was plowing with his father's oxen. He had come to the 12th yoke of oxen. 12 being the number. 12 being the number of apostolic government. What am I talking about? He had come to a place of seeing the kingdom or the government of God coming to his life now. Destiny had been heard by the prophet who cast his mantle upon him, and this set him on a course of a new dimension of ministry. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor Barry? I'm telling you that our destiny is crying out with a voice within every one of us in this room today. Amen. And it's setting us on a course to take us into a new dimension, because God wants us to possess those things that we see. And until the light comes on of your destiny and your plan and your gifting and your vision and your calling and everything, when God throws the light on that thing, guess what? That thing is revealed. It's no longer hidden. That hidden treasure of the darkness now has been revealed in you. Those hidden riches of the secret places is now the light has come on, and you can go. And man, I could put, you know, the old treasure maps the pirates used to use. They had a thing, Emily, they had a map and it had a big X on it. That marked where the treasure was. Amen. If you followed the map and everything, and, you know, usually it was in a cave or somewhere or whatever. And, you know, you preached about Indiana Jones the other night, having a key or having a map or always having some kind of instrument that he could plug in or put in the right place that was going to shake everything together and align everything to where all of a sudden the lights would come on, illumination would come, and he would find the treasure. And how many know when the lights come on, you can see the treasure? If I'm in a dark place and I'm in a cave and I light my torch up, boom, right there it is. I've got a map. It led me to the place. Now I can see it. If I can see it, I can possess the treasure, because it's no longer hidden. It was in a dark place, but it's no longer hidden. So Elisha had come to the place to where he was seeing the kingdom of God. He was coming to a new dimension of ministry. I said it at the beginning, and I'm going to close with a few more things here. There's a fivefold process of understanding and possessing the kingdom. You got to seek. When you seek, you'll find. When you find, you'll enter. When you enter, you'll possess. And what you possess, you will inherit. There's hidden treasure in every field. I'm going to end with these last few scriptures here. In Micah, the second chapter, you guys have heard me say this before, and I'm kind of getting into what I was going to share the remainder of you guys on Wednesday night that we started, where I talked about the power of the swarm. Y'all remember that last Wednesday? And I didn't get finished. I got part one. We're going to do part two when we get our time together again. But this is where this is coming from. In Micah, the second chapter, verses 12 and 13, "I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob." I can't get this scripture out of my spirit, and y'all know that. "I will surely gather all you, O Jacob. I will surely collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them, Israel, together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They, the fold and the pasture, shall swarm with men and hum with much noise. The breaker," verse 13, "the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it. And their king will pass on before them, the Lord, at their head." How many know the Messiah, Jesus? He's the breaker in our life. If the breaker is calling us to swarm with men and hum with great noise, how do we begin to swarm? And I believe the power of the swarm is knowing what and how to. And I use the word swarm as an acronym. Brother Bradley called me the king of acronyms the other night. I got an acronym for swarm. This is how we begin to swarm with men and hum with great noise. This is how we begin to operate and flow in our destiny. Amen? This is how we do it. We got to learn how to swarm with men and hum with great noise. The power of the swarm is knowing what and how to. The S is speak in season. We got to know how to speak in season. Amen? We not only need to know that we've got to speak, but we got to know when to speak. It's in season. We got to know what to speak. It's a word. We got to know who to speak it to. It's those that are weary and heavy laden. Amen? Amen. We got to know how to speak in season. Speak in season. The W. If we're going to swarm with men, we got to learn how to watch and pray. You know, God's called us to be the watchmen of the city. We've got the voice of the watchman. If we're going to be watchmen, we got to learn, first of all, how to watch, but we got to learn how to pray. God, what do you want us to do in this situation? How many know things have come up? I mean, totally blindside you. And if you're, you know, if you just sit there and you just kind of operate out of a, you react instead of respond, hear that. God wants us to respond to situations, not react. Most time we'll react, but the way we respond is this. We take a step back and say, okay, God, help. We begin to pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I speak to this situation? We're swarming with men. The A, we got to learn how to align for the assignment. I got that from Brother Bradley. Amen. We got to learn how to align ourselves for the assignment that God set before us if we're going to swarm with men and hum with great noise. The R, we got to recognize and respond to people. We got to be able to recognize God will bring opportunity, hear this, up before us when he's teaching us how to swarm with men and hum with great noise. We got to be able to recognize that. God's doing something right here. You ever been in a situation and you're talking to somebody like Brother Nicky was talking to this guy the other day, you know, just like you shared with your testimony. You saw this guy walking and everything, and Robbie's like, should we pick him up? Should we not pick him up? I don't know. You guys recognize, we need to do something. I don't know exactly what it is, but you recognize that something needed to be done. And so you responded accordingly to that. We got to learn how to recognize and respond if we're going to swarm with men. And then the M is this. You got to maintain momentum. Amen. We don't want to lose steam. Amen. We got to enter our doorway of utterance. What'd you say, brother? You got to keep on keeping on. Amen. You got to maintain this momentum. Amen. I shared this with you guys before. It's kind of like kicking a kickball. You know, you can kick it, and you kick that thing, it's going. But all of a sudden, it'll get to a certain start, it starts slowing down. You know, and then you got to run up, kick it again. It gets momentum. So what am I saying? This thing that God is calling us to do, to swarm with men and hum with great noise, we got to keep kicking the ball. Keep that thing going. Amen. Well, what will stop it? This will stop it. Well, I'm coming to church today, but you know, I don't really feel like praising the Lord. Ball slowing down. You know, I think I'm just going to sit down this one. I'm going to sit out. I'm going to sit this one out, y'all. Y'all, I'm going to let Sister Nancy do my praise today. I won't just sit this one out. You know, yeah, right. Kick it. You better kick the ball. Why? You're losing momentum. And God wants us to maintain the momentum. Why? Because we got to enter our doorway of utterance. God's going to give us a doorway of utterance. The breaker, he's propelling us forward in our sphere of influence. Every one of us in here has a sphere of influence. He wants us to bring an existence of abundant life that's going to quickly reproduce his kingdom through expansion and multiplication. Amen? God desires to raise up a people who are willing to make noise continually. They will create a climate for growth. Amen. As we keep the momentum going, we can't help but create a climate for growth. Amen. Growing how? Growing numerically, growing spiritually, growing financially. Amen. If you keep the momentum going, guess what? You're going to grow. Whoo! I had another thought, but I ain't going there. So God desires to raise up a people who are going to be willing to make noise continually. I mean, we're part of a revolutionary movement. God's causing us to do something in this area that's never been done before. who was it? It might have been you, Bradley. I can't remember now. I was talking about 12 people. Took 12. It might not have been you. I can't remember who it was now. But Jesus took 12 men, and he turned the world literally upside down. Amen? You know, and I believe God's called us to grow numerically as a church. Okay? I believe that. That's part of the word of the Lord. That's what we're believing for. Okay? But how many know just because you got a whole bunch of people don't necessarily mean you're going to be doing a whole lot of stuff? So God is this is what God's put in my spirit. I'm looking for my tribe. I'm looking for my tribe, Sean. What do you mean? Let me tell you. I'm talking about somebody who has a kindred spirit like mine. That's part of your tribe. Amen. In other words, we're thinking along the same lines. I shared this with you guys Wednesday night, and I'm trying to bring it to a close here. And I got to say it again, and I've already said it a number of times, but you know, you cannot possess that thing you can't see. And if you can't see that God has called us to do a mighty work as a church, as Lifewind Covenant Church, I mean, if you can't see it, guess what? You'll never possess it. You'll never walk in it. It won't happen. So God's trying to put a tribe together. I mean, we all think alike. We all have the same ideals. Man, I want to see this thing happen. I just don't want to talk about it, Sister Nancy. I want to see it happen, Brother Sean. Tammy, I want to see it happen. Emily, Robbie, Lady J, Sister Garrett, Brother Bradley, Allie, Taylor, Lucy, Lydia, kick the ball. Amen. I want to form a tribe. Amen. I'd love to come in here next Sunday with war paint on and I want a grass skirt. Y'all wouldn't like that. It'd be funny. But you know what I'm saying? I want to put my war gear on. Amen. And come up to somebody, and me and Nikki's got the same tattoo. Why? Because we're the same tribe. Amen. Y'all know what I'm saying? Trying to find my tribe. God is trying to cause us to become a revolutionary movement, and we can't do that unless we become a tribe. I believe that's why God put it in our spirit so hard to believe for those 12 families this year. Amen. I believe they're tribal members. 12 tribal members. Amen. We got the same heart. We got the same passion. We want to see the same things take place in this area. We're people that believe that God wants to do something great in our lives. And I might not can put my finger on it exactly or what it is, Sister Gary, but I can hear it bubbling in my spirit. I can hear it down in my belly. I can hear some kind of sound, you know, some kind of war cry from the Lord that's saying, do it. Believe me. Believe me. Do it. Get your tribe together. Get your tribe together. Luke 12:49-51 says it like this. Out of the Message Bible, I love this. It says, I've come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I'm come to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. Amen. That's a war cry from the Father. Amen. That's the war cry of the tribe. Amen. That's the war cry of the tribe there. I've come to disrupt some things and confront some things. I've come to change the atmosphere and the climate of this region. Amen. People thinking racism is okay. People thinking poverty is okay. Come on. Some people thinking this place is never going to amount to anything. No industry is going to come here. There ain't no jobs in Selma, Tennessee. I've come to change that. Amen. Come to kick it. Ah, I like that, Lady J. There's a new world coming. Hear this. And Christ is already reigning from there. Oh, God, I need to say that again. There's a new world coming to Selma, Tennessee. And guess what? Christ is already reigning there. Can we see it? We see it. We can possess it. We must disassociate ourselves from demonic strongholds that are resident or resistant to authority and change. Let me say that again. We got to disassociate ourselves from demonic strongholds that are resistant to authority and to change. I'm telling you, we fought that demonic resistance today when we started our praise and worship. Why? Because this demonic resistance, this stronghold that's been over this area, says, no, why are we doing it like that for? This is different. This is strange. You don't want to do that. Why do you want to just sit down and don't work? Come on, somebody. Amen. We got to learn how to disassociate ourselves. I'm telling y'all, it's going to become stronger and stronger. Not that it's winning, but because we are on the battlefield and we're in a warfare, amen, and we're entangled in this thing and we want to see this thing come to pass, you better believe there's going to be some resistance. Amen. And our part in that thing is to disassociate ourselves from the resistance and not give in to that. We're not ignorant of the devices of the devil, man. We recognize what's going on. Amen. When we feel like we're hitting a wall in praise and worship, you better know right quick, amen, that the enemy is trying to put up a wall and don't want us to break through. Amen. That should cause us to get a bulldog tenacity to say, you know what, I'm breaking through this wall anyway, and I'm going to get into his presence anyway, because that's why I gathered here today. I didn't gather here today because I want to make myself feel good. Come on, somebody, and it's all about me. You know, and it's all, I didn't sing no songs, it's all about me. Amen. But I come here to sing the song of the Lord and say, it's all about you. Amen. It's all about him. That's why we gather today. We gathered in this house, Lifewind Covenant Church, today because we've gathered to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this place. That's why we have a church building. Amen. And guess what? We come in this place to gain strategies, to gain empowerment, to get revelation and understanding, amen, that's not going to stay within the confines of these four walls, but we're going to take it to the city, amen? We're going to take it outside, amen? The kingdom of God is not going to stay within these walls, but the kingdom has come to be established in this region, amen? And God has called you and I to do that. It's our tribal duty. We got to disassociate from demonic strongholds. Things that are resistant to authority and to change. God is calling us to expose the death in this area that's called religion. The kingdom within, oh, I love this, is causing changes without. It's creating within us a vision of real revelation. And we got to preserve what is good and change what needs improvement. If what needs to be changed is beyond my ability to improve it, guess what? I'm going to get some help. I'm going to get some help to improve it, because real revolution, it requires a responsible team effort. Can you say tribe? Amen. Real revolution requires a responsible team effort. I can't do it by myself, Sister Nancy. You can't do it by yourself. Amen. Whether we want to agree with it or not, Brother Bradley, you need me and I need you. Amen. Amen. You know why? I ain't got it all figured out, church. Y'all probably done seen that already. Pastor Barry ain't got it all figured out. Amen. I ain't. I'll just admit to you right now, Lady J, I ain't got it all figured out. But let me tell you something. You ain't either. You ain't got it all figured out either. That's why we need each other. That's why it's got to be a responsible team effort if we're going to bring change to this area. Real revolution requires it. Jeremiah 29:11, as you stand to your feet, and I'm closing with this. I like a towel. Hey! I like slinging this thing around. I feel like I just slung it all over the place. I'm going to have to get Sister Garrett to make me a flag. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. Come on. A manifestation of his explanation. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for your disaster. Well, you ought to just receive that right now. To give you a future and a hope. Let me end with my daily devotional that Lady J and I use, and let these words resonate in your spirit. Today, I tell you what, why don't we say this? Today, go ahead and say it. Today, I will be energized by the promises of God that speak prophetically to my potential and help me to perceive my purpose. Knowing who I am in Christ and what I am inevitably becoming in him will produce an unshakable confidence in me. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Amen. The seed of Christ deposited into my spirit will produce after its own kind, ultimately conforming me to his image. Say this, a manifestation of the explanation. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap if you receive it today. Kick it. I like it, lady. You know you didn't got me to say that. Kick it. I'm allowed to do that in praise and worship sometime. We feel like we're hitting that wall. Kick it. That'd be something good for Lydia to say. She's good at saying stuff like that. She can say things with a little attitude. Amen. Well, I tell you what. Anybody need prayer for anything before we dismiss?
Listen, dope.
If you get an opportunity, go by and see Sister Dolores. That will really encourage her. It'll encourage Roy, too. Amen. How many know it's good when you have people come by and see you after you've been in the hospital or something's happened and everything? Listen, I appreciate you guys praying for Pastor Darrell, you know, during this time with the passing of his mom and everything. He made it through today, victorious. You know, he's a strength in his family. He's a spokesman in his family. He's a pillar in his family because of the righteousness of Christ has been shed abroad in his heart. We went over last night to the funeral home and saw Brother Donnie. That's his dad, Papa Donnie is what they call him because, you know, Daryl's son's name is Donnie also. And they call Big Donnie and Little Donnie is what they call him. So Big Donnie was there. And, I mean, Lady J and I saw him, and they were married 55 years. 55 years. 55 years, 5 months. Amen. That's what he told us last night. You know, and it wasn't nothing coming out of that man's mouth but words of faith and encouragement. We went there to encourage him, and you know, we walked away, and he encouraged us. You know, and he just had his wife pass away and everything. But he's just an awesome man of God himself, and, you know, and y'all have met Pastor Darrell, and so he's a lot like his daddy. You know, just very encouraging, always got something good to say, always uplifting. And we went over to their house last night after funeral home and everything, and they had food forever. And we ate like we ain't never ate before, you know, and he just kept saying, "You get you something to eat, you get you something to eat," you know. But that's, if you knew Darrell's mom, that's the way she was. She loved to cook, and if you came to her house, you're going to eat something before you left. Daryl said, and I'm just sharing this, and we'll pray. Daryl said they'd go over there. Last time they were over there, they had something going on. I can't remember if it was a holiday or somebody's birthday. But his mom had made some chocolate cake or something. She said, Daryl Lee, that's what she called him. Daryl Lee, now you get in there and get you a piece of that chocolate cake. And he's like, "Oh, Mom, I don't know. You better go in there and get you some of that cake." You know, and said, "All right." So he goes in there, and she fixes him a piece of chocolate cake. She says, "Here, eat that. Ain't that good? Boy, you're getting fat as a hog." He's like, "Mama, you just made me eat." I know, but you are getting kind of chunky. I mean, ain't nothing like Mama. Remember them in prayer and everything. Anybody need prayer for anything before we dismiss? I appreciate you guys being here so much. And I'm going to tell y'all, so I'm making a declaration right now. I'm going to decree a thing, so shall it be established. Lady J and I are moving to Selmer, Tennessee. We on the move. Amen. We've had an impartation of faith in our heart. We're speaking it with a mouth. Now we're walking out of our feet. Nancy's garage and Charles's garage is getting filled up with stuff as we speak. Amen. We've been bringing stuff over there and packing up. We're painting at the house. Our house is going to sell. We got a realtor and everything. Signed a contract with our house for everything. We're believing God to sell that. We're doing everything that we know God has spoken to us to do, and how many know it's up to him. Now, I told Lady J, it's like this. I feel like I'm driving a covered wagon, and it's out of control, and I'm holding the reins, Brother Bradley, and I'm standing up. You know, whoo, we're getting down the road, man. And I'm like, man, I can't control this thing anymore. And God says, let go of the reins. How many know when we're doing something for the Lord and we're trusting him, that's what he wants? That thing seems like it's going out of control. You know why? It's because we're trying to control it. But if we'll just stand up, let go of the reins. He said, I got this. Just let me do what I do. Amen? And so God's going to do what he needs to do in Lady J and mine's life. He'll do what he needs to do in your life if you'll just let go of the reins. Amen? Let go of the reins, Tammy. Let go of the reins. Let him do what he can do. Let go of the reins, Sean. Amen? Garrett, let go of the reins. Bradley, let go of the reins. Emily, Robbie, Nikki, Nancy, let go of the reins. Let him do what he does. Taylor, just let go of the reins. You can't drive anyway right now. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today, God. I thank you that you are causing our destiny, God, to begin to cry out on our behalf, Father. I thank you for a manifestation of the explanation, God, that you put inside of us, Lord. And God, when we don't know how to pray, our destiny will begin to cry out on our behalf. And Father, we'll open up a well of life and perfection, God, in a desert place, God, when we can't see clearly, God. But God, when the treasure is revealed, because it's been hidden in dark places, God, I thank you, God, that you're bringing forth hidden riches from the secret places of our heart. Because our destiny, Lord God, is to win. Our destiny is in you, God. Our destiny has a voice, God. And we say, let our destiny speak to you, God, and let it fall on your ears, God, that you would hear the cry of our heart, God, to be a people that's going to establish your kingdom in the earth, Father, in Jesus' name. God, I pray for every family represented here, God. I pray peace, prosperity, Lord God. I thank you for the favor of God over everyone's life. God, I pray for Sister Garrett right now. God, I thank you that she's got the favor of God over her life for a job. God, and Father, that you've got the one that she needs to step into, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you're going to cause her to see that thing that you've called her to possess, Father, that she will find it, enter into it, possess it, and walk in her inheritance, God, because she is the favored of the Lord, Father. I thank you for that in Jesus' name, God. I thank you for the Harris family, Lord God, that they're prospering, God. They're prospering people right now because, God, they're prospering in their soul, Lord God. Thank you for that, God. I thank you for Charles and Nancy Connell, Lord God. I thank you that you're blessing them, God, because you're raising them up, God, to be leaders in the kingdom, Father. And, Father, no weapon formed against them can prosper, Lord. God, everything that would rise against them shall utterly fail. God, I thank you for that, God. I pray for Tammy right now in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you that you're calling her, causing her to dream again. Hallelujah, God. You've called her to greatness, Lord God. You've called her to think higher of herself, God, because your ways are higher than hers, God. You cause her to think highly, God, of what you've put in her life, God. And so, Father, you're causing her to change her perspective on life, God, and you're bringing her into a place of success, God, in you, Father. I thank you for that, God. I pray for Sean and Lydia, Lord God. I thank you that you're selling that property that they have, God. God, you're going to bring finances into their household, Lord God. I thank you because they've been faithful in the few things, God, you're going to make them ruler over many things, God. I seal all this by the word of the Lord, God, and I seal it by the presence of God and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, hug somebody.